I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol.
You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and we have our weekly update from the Minnesota Senate with Senator Carla Bigham. Good morning, Senator Bigham. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Mike. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. The big news, of course, this week is going to be anything to do with the coronavirus, the COVID-19 outbreak. What is the current situation for that in the Senate?
First, the biggest news is that the governor has issued a stay-at-home order starting at 11:59, Friday, March 27th, all the way through Friday, April 10th at 5 p.m., and, you know, this is based on data, on science, on projections, working closely with the Department of Health and the University of Minnesota to make sure that we can spread that the rate of infection, which is inevitable, out so we don't overburden our medical system, our hospitals. There are a few things I just kind of wanted to go over. Every day at 2 p.m., there is a press conference for the governor and for the Department of Health, for the Department of Employment and Economic Development. I think those are important things for folks to listen to and get a daily update to stay in tune. Second, you know, the stay-at-home order, it doesn't mean you have to stay inside cooped up, right? You know, enjoy our outdoor activities like walking, hiking, running, biking. I know that a lot of dogs are receiving a lot of, including mine, extra walk just to get some fresh air. And,
right.
And, you know, but I'm going to say this, no playground equipment, all right? Because all the playgrounds have been included in the closed section of what is available to folks. And I know the Department of Parks and Rec here in Hastings and other areas are taking that very seriously. So the county parks are open. The facilities and programming are not. Some of the other things that I just kind of wanted to point out are, you know, obviously hospitals are open. If you have to go check on a family or a loved one, obviously that is something you can do. Again, if you need health or medical services, if you need to get supplies, groceries, gasoline, the pharmacy, all those are open. Restaurants, please support your local restaurants that are doing the carry out. That is very important. Buy some gift cards. But also go ahead and look online for their hours of operation. A lot of them are doing limited menus, limited hours, but let's support them in this time. Also the other thing that I think is extremely important is this is not stay at home if you are not safe at home, okay? If you are not safe at home, it's allowed for relocation, obviously, of safety. We don't want domestic violence, child abuse, any of that to prohibit, obviously, being relocated. That is not what it means. If you need help, call 911. They will come. They will help. And so I just wanted that also to be made aware because we are seeing an uptick in those calls. And so we need to, you know, maintain safety as well. So the other thing that I think is important is the distance learning for students. I'm assuming that KDWA will be talking with the school district about distance learning, but that is going to be from March 30th until May 4th. And so, you know, be in contact with the school district and any, you know, other materials and online opportunities for education purposes for the students. Restaurants, bars, and other public accommodations, such as getting your hair done, barbers, tattoos, that kind of stuff, movie theaters, all of that will be closed until May 1st. And again, this is to make sure we are spreading out that curve, slowing the rate of infection. But the biggest thing I think we can say is stay home. I'm also happy, Mike, to go through some of the things we went through about unemployment and healthcare, if that's where you want to go. Otherwise, happy to talk about legislation we passed yesterday as well.
Well, let's start with that. But first, you were talking about the services that are kind of suspended. We did get notification in town that one of our dental offices has declared that they are going to be not available for non-emergency services. So if you have a routine cleaning or something like that, you're going to have to reschedule that also.
Absolutely, and that I'm going to have to reschedule mine. But I think that the biggest thing the Department of Health has also told folks: veterinarians are open, dental places they need to be open for emergency purposes, so that you are not going into the emergency room for that. But those types of services are still open for non emergency services. So I just wanted to let folks that know that too. Also, liquor stores are still open. Just kind of want people to know that too. That was one of the top questions. Gas stations, funeral homes, obviously, very difficult situations with funerals, but you have to maintain social distancing in all of these situations when things are still open. Hardware stores, post offices, childcare facility, and also news organizations are obviously still open. And before we went here recording, you politely announced that you are practicing social distancing with the other staff at KDWA there. So I'm doing your part to help stop the virus.
Exactly. I'd like to say that I'm doing my part by recording this session while I'm in Tahiti, but that's not the truth either.
But you know, these are uncharted times, and a lot of stressful times. And so, you know, again, I can go over the kind of some of the services and the information. There is some additional information that has come out very recently about federal legislation that is in the process of being passed. It's passed the Senate, waiting on the House, but there's some good things in there that I believe they will be passed. It's just a matter of when. And then also we passed legislation on the state level in efforts to address issues that are coming up due to COVID-19.
Well, tell me a little bit about the federal legislation.
Well, that has information for small businesses. Unemployment is being extended to include independent contractors. We know some of the details, but it hasn't passed. We've known large concepts. So in other words, I don't know the amount of money the state's going to receive. There is going to be payments, and all this is online for folks, individuals, and obviously families, depending on how you file your taxes. They're thinking relief will be coming the first week of April. So if you filed your taxes, they'll go through that way, which is helpful. And, you know, the more you make, the less you're going to receive. And all of that information is online. Also, the Real ID, this is something that a lot of people were worried about, is going to be extended a year because we don't want people congregating to wait in line to process, you know, that application. And so that has been delayed. And also on the state level, your bill included, if your license expires during this time period, don't worry about it. That's been taken care of. So just when it gets done, make sure when the restrictions are lifted, make sure you go in and get that taken care of. And that's an important piece of information. We don't want people to get, you know, charged with a crime for having an expired driver's license if you were out and about. So
these this outbreak really does affect a wide variety, a wide spectrum of governmental services. What else is going on? You were talking about, you briefly mentioned the legislation at the state. What are some of the other details for that?
So we passed a $331 million relief package that really does provide additional resources for the state agencies, workers, businesses, and really, you know, some of the other entities that are in the fight here against this virus. And the funding includes grants for child care providers, emergency service workers, support for food access, and also housing. We have some assistance in there for veterans and about $200 million in flexible funding that for the governor. And there's a panel that is set up that consists of members of the House and the Senate to approve appropriations over $1 million. And again, all of this is on top of what we've already passed. This is our third bill. But, you know, really this legislation is going to be able to help with some economic security and stability for, you know, really a lot of Minnesotans who are facing uncertainty. And we really are trying to do our part to help strengthen the state's response to this challenge. And the other thing I would say is, you know, this includes some of the things I've already talked to you about previous interviews about small business loans through the Department of Employment and Economic Development and stuff like that. That's all included in this bill. But I have to say, I am disappointed in a few things that were left out of the negotiations and left out of the legislation. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about that, Mike. I think it's important. Hourly workers for the school district, that part, to get pay was not included, to give money to the school districts to do that was not included. Now, there is some money in the federal bill that is coming down the pipeline, as well for higher education that is coming down the pipeline if this bill on the federal government comes down. But that's devastating to families. And so, I mean, they'd be able to apply for unemployment, right? But you can't make that money up when, you know, it's just the school district is going to be hurt by that. The other thing is allowing for workers comp for our frontline workers, our fire, our police, our nurses, if they're infected with COVID. That actually isn't included in this legislation, and it's not included in the workers comp thing. And the majority leader Gazelka, you know, basically said we need to go through the workers comp council. Well, no, these are really different times, Mike, and we're suspending rules for so many things. Why wouldn't we do it for this?
Right.
And then have the council go ahead and take a look at it. So as the daughter and sister of a firefighter, this is very important to me, and it's very upsetting that it wasn't included. And, you know, there was a bump for very economically challenged folks that are on MFIB, you know, and to give them a bump during this time would have been helpful to get them through this crisis as well. But also, we have an executive order the governor did to help with some of the waivers for people with disabilities. And executive orders are going to expire in 30 days. And, you know, there's just a lot of disruption in the care, direct care and assisted care for people with disabilities. And, you know, they're going to be closing up some of the day programs and stuff like that because they're not getting they're not getting paid for absent days when people aren't attending. And they're going to close up. And then what's going to happen when everything goes back to a quote-unquote new normal for these folks? I mean, it's just wrong that this stuff was not included in the legislation. So I am very hopeful, and I'm going to be very loud and vocal, that when we get back on the 14th, we are recessed now until noon on April 14th, that this be addressed because, you know, we certainly are not done. We are not done helping people during this time.
Right. And I was just going to ask about that. If they're, you know, there's got to be recourse for these provisions that didn't make it to be added at a later time. Maybe the bill could be amended. Is that?
Well, it would be a new bill. No, it would be have to be new legislation.
Okay.
That we would have to do another bill like we did earlier. And so to me, that's what we need to do. The other thing that I have to say that is really occurring is there's a lot of bias crimes and hatred and just a lot of wrong things that are occurring to our Minnesota citizens of Asian descent, our friends of Asian descent, And we have to address that. You know, if you are receiving bias crimes, please call 911, report them, because that is wrong. We have no tolerance and no place for hate, and we need to be kind to each other and check in on each other and help each other during this time. And there's just no place for any hate towards anyone, but especially during this time towards our friends of Asian descent.
It's amazing to me, as you mentioned, that how history just kind of seems to repeat itself for that kind of thing. We've gone through this kind of thing before. We've gone through this kind of thing before, say even, you know, as far back as World War II.
Yep. And so we just need to be cognizant of that.
Exactly.
And make sure that we're reporting it, and it's, you know, really, I'm hoping that we can get a hotline established. I'm hoping that we can get assistance. Probably might need some money to do some public relations and public outreach, public just advisories that are going to go out, because it's just not, it's increasing. And even if we're talking about it like we are right now, it's more work needs to be done on that. And I have no tolerance for hate. And we, especially during a time where there's just an increase in stress on folks.
Exactly. Well, we've got about a minute and a half left. Is there anything positive that you're seeing coming out of all this going on?
Well, I think this community has always stepped up. If you look on social media, you know, people are making masks. People are setting up appointments to donate blood. These teachers are just being so creative in how they're reaching out to their students, and really this community comes together as always. It's no surprise, and you know, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this together, and I just encourage people, if I can be of any assistance, to call at 651-297-8060, email me at SEN, which is the abbreviation for Senator, dot Carla with a K, dot Bigham at Senate.mn. Also, sign up for our email blast on the Senate webpage and follow me on Facebook and Twitter. I do multiple updates throughout the day. Daily, I'm doing them as I get information. And then, as always, listen to KDWA so that you can get the most up-to-date information on Corona.
Yes, we do. We have a coronavirus update page where we keep those closures and business changes as current as we can as soon as we get them in. I would like to thank my guest for this segment, Senator Carla Bigham. Thank you for calling in and checking in with us today. This is Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No, but how I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill, now you're a law.
Oh, yes!
Are you bored at home mindlessly surfing the internet while social distancing? Well, why not check out KDWA's website, kdwa.com, your one-stop shop for local news, weather, sports, obituaries, daily honor schedule of interviews, tweets, community events, the Trading Post, and of course, all the great deals and daily discounts on our online shopping show page. Check us out at kdwa.com. We're in this together.